Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levin.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levin. Lots going on, from the good, the bad, to the ugly. Let's start with the ugly. Of course, I'm referring to that city that is just about 40 miles from where I sit in Washington, D.C., live from the Center for American Progress. The much older city, frankly, and the one that used to be, I believe, the nation's third largest, Baltimore. Baltimore, Maryland. So, 2 weeks ago, I think it was now, I came on the air and I talked about Freddie Gray, the young man, or I think he was pretty young, man who was taken into, 25-year-old man, who was taken into custody after the police looked at him and he ran. And I talked about the fact that there is no right for the police to chase someone who runs unless they either have a warrant for that person's arrest, or they fit the description of someone who's committed a crime, or they see them committing a crime. But otherwise, you have a right to run in America. And the police chased him and found that he had a knife on him that I guess was not a lawful knife, a little, like it was like a switchblade. Okay, maybe should have had that, but you know, Fourth Amendment, by the way, you can't search someone pursuant to an illegal arrest and then use the fruits of that search. That's one of those constitutional rules I talk about all the time, so I don't think the knife is relevant. What's most relevant, of course, is that once they put him in a police car, he complained of asthma. The police had no asthma medication, and by the time he had arrived at the police station, he'd almost decapitated himself. Something like 80% of his spinal cord was severed. Now, we don't know what happened. We don't know whether he struggled to breathe, banged his head on the police car. We don't know whether something more awful happened. It's hard to know. It really is. There are no cameras inside police cars. I have long called for police body cameras. They're not that expensive these days in times of digital photography. And I think they should keep them on when they're in the car, too. Particularly when they're transporting prisoners. You know, whether the camera has to be in the car or on the police officer's body, I don't know. I leave it to technicians. But it's important. We need to know what happened to Freddie Gray. We also need to know whether police should maybe carry asthma medicine. It tends to be an inhaler. And when we look at the death of, I can't believe I forgot his name right now. Long Island. Eric Garner was his name. We look at the death of Eric Garner. He also complained of asthma as the police were choking him. Of course, it may just be that he couldn't breathe because, well, the police were choking him. But I think he was an asthmatic. Maybe the police should carry something like that, given that you can die instantly if you don't have such a thing. But all these discussions, all these important questions, questions of body cameras, questions of police brutality versus police serving and protecting, questions about whether or not Freddie Gray should have been stopped in the first place. All of the true outrage and mourning for Freddie Gray on the day of his funeral were overshadowed because a few thugs decided to riot, loot, and burn down things. Now, I have heard some liberals, and I'm a liberal, but some liberals on Facebook, actually they tend to be white liberals, say that they understand where the rioters are coming from, or they have sympathy for the rioters. Every black person I've talked to has used the words that President Obama used, or something similar. Thugs. I've heard no sympathy in the black community for what these young men did, and they were mostly men and they were mostly young. They took one of the only pharmacies in this very poor neighborhood and made sure that it was shut down. You saw it. I saw it. Some guy, people broke in the store. They were running in, grabbing things out. One guy brought in a rollaway suitcase, kind of bigger than the ones you'd put in a plane. I mean, you can't bring it in the overhead bin. It'd have to be checked. I'm sure he packed it up with whatever he wanted and ran out. Later on, that pharmacy was set afire. I am someone who has complained about the fact that there are not enough pharmacies and grocery stores in very poor areas. Well, CVS may question before they put another one in a very poor area. Then there was the senior housing. That was really atrocious. That was worse than the pharmacy. They've been building it for years. Housing for poor seniors of the community, for the elderly, that they were very proud of. The community had built by the community for the community. It was almost done. They burned it to the ground. A lot of people had tears in their eyes. I want to be very clear about this. The vast, vast majority of the African-American community of Baltimore condemned what happened. And CNN didn't make it any better. They focused on the burning block. They didn't focus on the peaceful protests. God knows they didn't focus on Freddie Gray. They didn't focus on all of the people who were peacefully protesting, because we all know riots get headlines. It wasn't even a full-scale riot. It was some pretty bad looting, some burning in some areas of the city. And that's where the focus was. And, well, I guess that's what sensationalist news is all about. My favorite clip, though, the bright side, and I know I'm not the only one that thinks this, was that wonderful, wonderful 30 seconds of the woman in bright yellow going after her son. I have no doubt that was his mom. The kid was dressed all in black, covered up his face, was smart, and at least smarter than the kids that were robbing the pharmacy without any kind of head covering, because they were filmed on camera. And for all the, I don't know, stacks of pills or vitamins or whatever they were stealing from that CVS worth, I don't know, $100 that they stole, they presumably will be caught shoplifting, prosecuted, and in jail for quite a long time. Not worth whatever they stole. This kid was, again, smart. It's probably not the word I should use, but clever enough to cover his face, not be seen. This mom, she recognized her son, and she gave it to him. Verbally, physically, I don't usually support any kind of physical acts from a parent to a child, but, you know, this young man deserved it. And, he, you know, it's not like she was really hurting him. He was bigger than she was. She let him have it. She's my hero. She's the right kind of mother. She was letting it. She even removed, I'm sure he didn't like this, she kind of removed his mask a bit so he'd show his face to the cameras. That wasn't her purpose. But she kind of ruined his disguise. We need better, stronger parents. And to say that the looting was a really bad idea, to condemn it as strongly as I'm doing, does not in any way, shape, or form detract from my questions about Freddie Gray, my anger at the police arresting him to begin with, much less whatever happened in that cab that we don't know about, my anger that we don't have police body cameras nationwide now, and my thoughts that maybe the police should carry an asthma inhaler. Would it hurt? Would it kill the police to carry an asthma inhaler? I know we can't treat everything, but it's a pretty common condition. It can lead to death automatically. Can they put that in the squad cars? Can't they? These are real questions, serious questions, important questions. They all got lost. The riders need to understand their actions were not just not productive. They were counterproductive. productive. And I'm really glad to see a lot of people calling them out, including, like I said, versus every black person I've seen. I'm disappointed in the white liberals that seem to think that violence and rioting could ever be justified. Look, we got a problem in this country. We got a problem of racism, of police violence. We've got a problem of over-policing. We've got a problem of lack of transparency. We need those body cameras. We've got serious issues. But by injuring the police, the thugs, they actually made the police sympathetic. And listen, some you got to be very careful when you talk about these issues. Obviously, many police are sympathetic. They do a very tough job, and they have to weigh careful life and death decisions at a moment's notice. And I don't doubt that the most cops are well-meaning and are not, not the kind of cops that have killed people in Missouri and South Carolina and New York and now Baltimore. But if we're ever going to get in discussion, if we're ever going to get in a room, if we're ever going to resolve these issues in the way they should be resolved, to be fairest both to the police and to the people they're supposed to serve and protect, and institute reforms like body cameras, asthma medicine, ways to help people, and to discipline police officers who chase after someone who just looked guilty and ran, which is your right to do in America. We're going to have to get down in a room and get into discussions and maybe, and you know what, protests, I support protests. I've done protests all my life. Nonviolent, loud protests are as American as apple pie and the First Amendment that protects them. But the violence? If there's one thing we should have learned from Martin Luther King, it's that nonviolence is more powerful than violence. At least in a democracy, at least in a country with a free press, at least in a country that allows for nonviolent protests. Now, in a country that doesn't allow nonviolent protests, unfortunately, violence may be the only answer. And that's revolution, and that's things we've seen all over the world. But we're not there yet, folks. We are not there. We are so not there. And so, on a day when, as I speak, the Baltimore Orioles are playing a surreal game against the Chicago White Sox in an empty stadium. An empty stadium? I don't think that's ever been done before in baseball. Let us all remember that the real goal is to get justice. And looting and violence, that doesn't help anybody. In fact, the people it harms the worst are the very people who are so angry right now. And I'll tell you one more thing. I don't think people looted a Rite Aid because of Freddie Gray. I don't think they set fire to a senior center because of Freddie Gray. I think these are a bunch of, in President Obama's words, thugs who were looking for trouble. And like so many young men across the country, it's like, hey, let's do it. This is fun. We can break in a police car. Ha-ha, it's so much fun to break the law and break the rules, and we can attack a police car. And it is just senseless rage that doesn't solve anything. Agree or disagree? Let me know what you think. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. This is Mark Levine. Be right back right after this.
He's a Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Levine. Baltimore apparently is getting calmer after a curfew last night. They're having a baseball game at Camden Stadium, Camden Yards, and the Orioles are playing the White Sox to an empty stadium. My take is very simple. The thousands of people that peacefully protested the death and possible murder of Freddie Gray are right on the money. We need to know what happened. We need to make this never happen again. We need to know why the police stopped that man in the first place. We need to know why he died in the back of a police car. None of those questions were asked yesterday, the day before, because people were focusing on a few dozen thugs, and yes, I'll use that word, who chose an opportunistic time to rob, loot, burn down a pharmacy, and burn down senior housing, and destroy a bunch of police cars, and attack cops. They do more harm, or as much harm, I should say, not more, as much harm to the cause of finding justice against police violence as the people who look the other way when there's police violence. Lots and lots of calls. I want to hear from all of you. Wow, huge number of calls. Let's start with new caller Evan from New York City on line 4. How are you, Evan?
How you doing? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you fine.
All right, cool. Yeah, first of all, I'd just like to say I love your show.
Thank you.
And you're very very concise. But anyway, I just see there's a lot of quotes about Martin Luther King, and, you know, his reaction is like, oh, well, Martin Luther King was nonviolent and protesting and so forth, which he was. But when he went to Los Angeles, or I believe it was California, I don't know if it was Oakland, during the riots, they said they brought Martin Luther King over, and they said, Martin Luther King, do something about this. And Martin Luther King said something. He said,
A riot is the language of the unheard.
Well, he may have said that as well, but what I'm saying he said was, stop the reason for them to riot.
Right.
And that was his response. Stop the reason for them to riot.
So here's the answer. Here's the thing, Evan. And we're going to take a break, and we'll get more. I'll give you more time after the break. The two things are not contradictory. It's not contradictory for Martin Luther King to be a proponent and an advocate and a fighter for nonviolence, which he was all his life, and to say that a riot is the language of the unheard, which is his famous quote. He's not saying the rioters are right. He's saying that they feel that they are not heard. And that's why we have to hear the people who are peacefully protesting. Not because we fear the rioters, but because they're right. They should be heard. And my big argument against the rioters, as much as the violence, is the fact that they did the same thing as shouting down those peaceful protesters who want to stop the police violence. They did harm to the cause of Freddie Gray. I'll give you more time after the break, as well as all my other callers. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. This is Mark Levine talking about Baltimore, and clearly this is something on a lot of your minds. We have maxed out the lines. If you tried to call and get a busy signal, that's because all 5 lines are full, and I'm going to get to each and every one of you, and then as a caller drops out, you'll be able to call in at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. I had to cut Evan off just because we had to go to the break. I want to give you, Evan, a chance to respond to what I said about Martin Luther King's quote that a riot is a language of the unheard. My view is that what King meant was that he understood the riot. He wasn't justifying the riot. He was saying he understood it without saying it was a good thing. But I want to hear what you think.
Yeah, no, I mean, we could sit there and say, oh, there's thugs and thugs and thugs. But the fact of the matter is that this community is heavily oppressed.
Right.
You know, we as black people are heavily oppressed. And the fact is that when you see a breakdown in leadership, and I'm speaking specifically about the police department, when you see that level of lawlessness going on of somebody who is already on the brink of self-destruction as it is,
yeah,
you know, you start saying, you know, what the heck does it matter? They start losing hope.
I understand that, Evan. So here's the thing.
This would have never happened. Wait a minute. This would have never happened if the police didn't murder someone.
Well, you're right.
They need to take responsibility for this.
Absolutely. So two weeks ago, the day it happened, I came on air, and I gave a long discussion of what happened to Freddie Gray, why I think it was wrong, why I think they shouldn't have arrested him in the first place. The fact that we don't know what happened in that car, but what we do know is not good. So I talked about it the day it happened, and then people filled the streets of Baltimore peacefully protesting, doing exactly what they were supposed to do. And thousands of people marched in peaceful protest and demanded change, and that's great. And then this happens. Do you think that the people who did the riots helped the cause for Freddie Gray or harmed the cause for Freddie Gray?
I don't think it really matters, because let me tell you something. We've been marching with Al Sharpton out here in New York for years, and it ain't nothing happened, and they're still killing black people like it doesn't matter. And you can go and march and say all that stuff you want to say. I think this is a representation of the, breakdown in leadership. And
I actually think New York...
They created this phenomenon.
See, I think... Go ahead.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's all right.
No, I think
one at a time. So I'll go and then you can go on.
I love listening to you talk, man.
I appreciate it. It's great having you on the air. And Evan, you feel free to disagree with me. That's what this show is all about. You have every right to do that. And frankly, if I didn't have people disagreeing with me, this would be pretty boring radio. So I'm glad to have you call in. I actually think that changes are being made slowly, not fast enough, to be sure. I think de Blasio in New York is way better than Bloomberg and Giuliani were. They're not there yet. They just killed Eric Garner. They're not there yet. But obviously that happened in Staten Island. And I think we need to fix, one of the things I talked about on this show is having a special prosecutor, or at least a prosecutor from outside the jurisdiction, go in there when cops kill somebody because of the inherent conflict of interest. I think, in South Carolina, that evil cop is being tried for murder. And I think that Baltimore, which, has a black mayor, a black police chief, and I think they were looking into this. My point is that not that these things get fixed in a day, and not that racism or police violence are over or ever will be over anytime soon. But by drawing attention to it, as we radio hosts are doing, as people on the street are doing, I don't know that white America 3 years ago focused on the violence of police towards young black men. This has been happening, as you know, for centuries and decades. And really just, Ferguson really just started bringing that to... So I think people are noticing the protests. I don't think those protests are going nowhere. Do you think they're going nowhere?
Yeah, a lot of times I don't think they are going anywhere. I just don't see, the incremental changes being significant enough to say that they've gone anywhere. But, now everybody's got something to say. It's not the police. I think CBS and all the places that were looted should send a bill to the Baltimore Police Department. It's their fault.
Wait a minute. Put yourself in the mind of the looter. All right. Are you telling me? Are you seriously telling me, Evan? And I appreciate you love my show and I respect you. But are you seriously telling me that the guy that went into that Rite Aid, CVS, with the big roll-in suitcase, and packed it up and rolled it out, that he was doing that for Freddie Gray? Come on.
Yeah, because the truth of the matter is that there was he said, you know what? In his mind, at some point, whether it was aware to him or not, he said, you know what? There is no law. There is no justice. Like Malcolm X said, there is no democracy. We ain't never seen any democracy, and we're not seeing it now. So I'm going to get what's mine, because you know what? This whole justice nonsense, and this is what he was thinking, in my opinion, was ludicrous. And there's no representation in his that he could see that would say otherwise.
Yeah, I disagree with
reality.
You. I understand. I know that's what Malcolm X was thinking.
Why didn't they just loop 3 weeks ago? If Freddie Gray had...
Because the opportunity presented itself.
How come it didn't happen an hour before Freddie Gray? They're obeying the law then.
What started is he saw the police occupied. He saw the police occupied, and he saw his chance. Look, you know, one of the things I saw that was really amazing, and I've been watching this.
Well, I don't think these people in that town are that freaking stupid and have no social conscience.
No. It's just a few people. Evan, 99%.
I fervently believe that these people that are looting or involved are well aware of what happened with Freddie Gray and are very upset about it.
You know,
and I do believe that they're in response to that.
Okay, Evan, what about the ones that burned down the senior center? You're not going to defend them, too.
Evidence to suggest that.
Evan, hang on. Let's have a dialogue, not a couple monologues, all right? Hey, hang on, Evan, let's just talk to each other a bit here, okay? So we don't have running monologues, all right?
Okay, so
I heard what you said about the looters. What about the people that burned down the senior center? Will you agree with me that those people are thugs? I mean, the senior center? Are you kidding me?
I think that we are dealing with a breakdown in justice. And this breakdown in justice is a result of a lack of leadership, poor leadership, and that leadership in directly and specifically has to do with the police department. And I think that senior center should send a bill to the Baltimore Police Department because they still have a senior center if they didn't murder this guy.
Yeah, All right. I appreciate your call, Evan. I really do. I appreciate your point of view, and I appreciate you calling in. Keep calling in. You and I are just going to disagree on this one because the people I saw the seniors crying. I saw that wonderful mother in yellow practically beating her son for what he did. I saw leaders of churches in Baltimore, black churches, condemning this behavior. I saw Freddie Gray's sister, his twin sister, condemning this behavior, saying it doesn't help Freddie Gray. The vast majority of people I see, I'm talking about black people. I'm not poor black people. I'm talking about poor black Baltimoreans, are angered, as I've seen, from the fact that these people are the looters, and I don't think there's a large number of them. And I think it's wrong for anyone to presume that they represent the community, because I think they're a small portion of the community. I think the vast majority condemn their behavior. I think it takes the focus off justice for Freddie Gray. But I appreciate your call, Evan. I think it was a great discussion. I want to move on, talk to another caller. Reggie from Georgia on line 3. Reggie, welcome to the show.
How you doing, Mark? And happy hump day to you, too.
Happy hump day to you, sir. What's your thoughts on what happened?
Well, what the cops did to Freddie Gray was bad, but what the looters and rioters are doing is far way much worse, because it only gives the law much more justification to use much deadlier and lethal and excessive force on them than they should.
It makes it into a battle, a street battle. It rather than a battle for justice and what's right, it becomes who's got the most force. And you know what? The police have more force.
Yeah.
You don't fight them with force. It's like fighting an army. You want to fight an army? You go and you elect people who pull the army out. That's what you do in a democracy. You don't try to fight the military with the military with guns. You're going to lose. I tell this to right-wingers all the time. They're like, we need our guns in case the government becomes a tyranny. And I'm like, you're not going to beat the U.S. military, your gun, with their tanks.
Yeah.
The way to fight them is with words, with laws, with protests, with appealing to people's moral conscience, not robbing a pharmacy.
Right. And the government has National Guard. You know that, right?
Right, of course.
What if they bring them out?
Yeah, I mean, the martial law doesn't help anybody. It really doesn't.
Right.
So.
What if they do that? They already got a curfew down there, right?
Yeah.
In Baltimore. But what if people break that?
Yeah, well, they already were. I don't know if you saw last night, the curfew began at 10, and some young man, I guess, just to show how cool he was, who knows what he was doing, just started after curfew, 30 minutes after curfew, wandering up and down in front of a phalanx of about 30 cops.
Right.
And after he did this, about 10 minutes, what did they do? They grabbed him and they arrested him. What did he think was going to happen?
Yeah, did they lock him up?
I'm sure they did.
Yeah, because he broke the law, right?
Right, because he broke the curfew. It's like, what have you achieved? Young man, what have you? I mean, at least he wasn't stealing anything. But I think it's a macho thing. I think it's like, hey, I'm tough. Look at me. I'm, 20 or 18 or whatever, and I'm marching in front of. I just think it's look at me. I'm tough in front of my friends. That's what I think. I don't think it's justice for Freddie Gray. I really don't. I don't think that's what the guy was seeking.
Well, I wonder how tough he is sitting behind bars.
Yeah, it's just, it doesn't help. It doesn't help him. It doesn't help society. It doesn't help the situation. God knows it doesn't help Freddie Gray or future Freddie Grays.
Right.
It takes our mind off of it. I just think it's a spitting in the eye of the real protesters who have significant and important and real grievances. I just think it gives people on Fox News a chance to pretend that the looters represent the city of Baltimore when actually they're just a small group of thugs. And that's why I liked Barack Obama's language. And that's one of the funniest things I saw. It was a weird thing. You can still find it online. Is gangs. Baltimore street gangs. Did you see this? They came together. There was like Crips and Bloods, and I don't remember all the groups. They came together and said, hey, that wasn't us. Those people, those looters, that wasn't us. You know, yeah. We're gangs. We sell drugs. We break the law. But we don't do that stuff. We care about Freddie Gray. And when even gangs are calling them out, to me, that was it was surreal, but it was kind of a sign that they'd gone too far, in my view.
Yeah, they don't want – real gang members don't want any trouble.
Yeah,
you know
Yeah, no, I hear you.
They don't want to get caught.
I hear you.
They don't want to get caught. And like I said, what this has done, all this has done is make it far way much worse. And it's making it more justifiable for the law to come out after them.
It's letting the police
fire, right?
Yeah, it's letting the police off the hook. Because now they have real justification. 7 cops were injured. They have real grievances now. And they're no longer the bad guy. They're the victim. And is that really what people who want justice for Freddie Gray want? The police to be the victim? I don't think so.
No, not even his family doesn't want that.
No, his sister was very eloquent. She was like pleading with people to stop this.
Right.
It's his twin sister, and I think we should listen to her. Thank you, Reggie. Thank you for
Welcome.
Your call. Appreciate it. Dave from Humboldt County on line 5. Dave, how are you, sir?
Oh, Mark, it's unfortunate to live in a very progressive area. There's some realities, harsh, hard realities, that we really need to look at. And we're not, or at least for the most part, they're being avoided. We have a government that has its hand out to big corporate special interests. We have our Democrats and our Republicans. The parties have both sold the people out to the same corporate greed.
And I agree with you, Dave, and you call in, you talk about this a lot. I want you to focus, though, on Baltimore, because that's what our topic is today.
Okay.
What do you want to say about Baltimore?
I, as long as I have been listening to your show, stand a vigil every Friday night with the Vets for Peace, with our signs, trying to appeal to this corrupt, crooked government, and we get, you know, we even have the support of the police here. They shake our hands, they wave to us, they salute us. People here tell us they love us, but it is not having any effect. It is not changing the reality. While we have been doing this for 20-some years, we have seen our country go into and expanding wars because they're profitable. Wall Street likes these wars. And so we've got a criminal government, but we're supposed to behave ourselves and honestly call upon them like as though they were honorable people.
Well,
to do the right thing, and they're not doing it.
I tell you, I don't think violence is the answer. I still think elections are the answer. I think Barack Obama is, listen, he's bringing more troops out than George Bush did. I know you're going to complain about drones and other things he's done, but I think he is an improvement over Bush. And the answer is you just got to elect people, find people who agree with you. I mean, Bernie Sanders, I'm sure, would agree with you. He's unlikely to win the nomination. I admit that. But I just don't think, Dave, you've persuaded enough people nationwide to win on that point. And that's, I actually think people can win on the other issues I'm talking about, body cameras and things like that, because I think they are making the persuasive case. But I don't think it's a criminal government. I actually think it's the elected government of the American people. I condemn a lot of things that President Obama does. You know that. Particularly the spying, the NSA spying, but I can't deny that he was fairly elected. So I'm not going to call him a criminal government. I will call him wrong and misguided. I won't call him criminal.
I'm not speaking of Obama, certainly not as an individual. I'm more addressing as the individuals, the Cheney Bush era that really...
Well, right. You're right. You're right about that. And listen, in the Supreme Court that allows the money to buy politics. So we'll keep condemning those things, I promise you. I do want to, though, get back to Baltimore, and I got to take a break. The phone number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Levine. This may be a record today. We have 7 callers, and I may not be able to get to all of you. I'm sorry if I don't call in tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel. We will get to all of you because I want to hear from all of you. So I apologize. I'm just not going to make it, I don't think, today. But let's go to Jay in Los Angeles on line 5. Hey, Jay, how are you?
Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm good.
Okay, well, quickly, I don't think violence is the answer myself, but I really have to call in to say that I totally disagree with you about this woman in yellow and that you make her a hero.
You don't like her at all.
Okay, I don't like her because what she did was violent, and you say you're against violence.
I am against violence, but...
And in fact, it is very possible that her behavior has much to do with why he was even there. Maybe he sees violence as a way to do it because of this experience he had with this woman who humiliated him.
Yeah, but didn't he deserve the humiliation? I mean, he looted a store.
And what proof do you have that he was even violent himself? Maybe he was just there, and she didn't like it.
Well, okay, you know what? If that's true, all right, then I completely agree with you. But the kid was wearing all black with a black covering of his face. Most people.
Oh, you're gonna now say that a hoodie?
No, not the hoodie. It wasn't the hoodie. He was covering his entire face. He just had his eyes showing. You don't do that if you're just walking the streets.
Oh, I mean, that's not a good argument. You know it as an attorney. This guy, there was no indication that he was a violent protester. She came out and completely humiliated that boy and beat him physically. That is not a solution. And you say you're against violence.
I am against violence. I don't think her beating wasn't like... He's a lot bigger than she is. She was showing her anger... I think he was looting. I mean, we'll have to find out. We'll have to find out more details.
Wait a minute.
He wasn't wearing a hoodie. He was covering up everything except his eyes. All right.
Anything in his hands. There's no point arguing that. That's a red herring, and you know it. The bottom line is she was violent against him, and you don't make people like that a hero. Period.
She was mostly. As I heard it, as I saw it, it's only like a 30-second clip. She was yelling at him, and he was refusing to turn around, and she was like, what are you doing? And she was using curse words, and he was not responding to her. And then, yeah, she kind of clocked him a little bit.
Let me go a step further. I think that that's a red herring because people are actually trying to use what she did. They're so happy that she did this. Why are they so happy that she did this?
Because they're showing parental discipline in a place where there was none. I think that's why they're happy. Because she is saying, hey, she's like the voice of the community saying, this has gone too far. This is not right. This is not what my son should be doing.
Well, it's the same. She's doing the same thing that everybody seems to be against. And again, if only a small percentage of what you called hoodlums were there doing the violence, then let's focus on the solution for the other 3/4 of the people.
On that, we entirely agree. I would even say 95%, not 3/4. On that, Jay, we're entirely in agreement. My big problem with the thugs, and that's Obama's word, not mine, is that they took our attention off of the real problems of injustice of police toward poor communities. Thank you for calling in, Jay. Thank you for calling in and disagree with me. I don't mind. We'll be on more tomorrow. Call in then. We'll be right back.
are back. We are here. I'm Leslie Marshall. He's Mark Levine. You hear him hour one of the program Monday through Friday. And he's also a former legislative counsel to Democratic Congressman Barney Frank and the House Judiciary, Homeland Security, and Financial Services Committees. Hey, Mark. Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day. Always good to have you co-hosting this hour with me. How are you doing today?
Thank you, Leslie. Happy Wednesday to you.
Hey, quick question. Did you happen to hear what I was talking about before? I don't know what time you're on
hold.
Oh, okay. You know, am I correct in the State Department wouldn't at this point be involved in what's going on with Baltimore?
No, there's nothing. The State Department does foreign policy only.
Right. So the Turkish, you know, maybe, you know, in implying she's a dumb blonde, but maybe he should get a box of hair color.
Well, the Turks are angry because we've been condemning their increasingly authoritarian tendencies, which I completely agree with the State Department on. It's a real problem. Turkey used to be a wonderful, vibrant democracy. It's becoming less so, and I'm glad we're sticking up for our principles.
I agree with you 100%. But to me, you know, especially, you know, as a woman, and even though you're not a woman, Mark, I mean, it's 2015.
It's
isn't it time to grow up and stop attacking people personally and women for their gender?
It's childish and offensive, and it's an attempt to change the issue from Turkish practice.
Okay, you also heard me in Ripped give a little sample of a couple of the Supreme Court justices. Now, the Supreme Court is taking on gay marriage. And so that people understand, basically the bottom line is the Supreme Court is going to determine whether or not the Constitution guarantees a right to same-sex marriage or to marriage for same-sex couples, correct?
Yeah, I would frame it a little differently, but I would say determining whether the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment means that the laws have to be applied the same way to straight couples as well, to gay couples as well as straight couples. Some states have said that they have a right to discriminate against gay couples. The 14th Amendment says you have equal protection under the laws. Does that equal protection go to gay people as well? That's how I'd frame it. I think it's a better way to frame it, but the way you said it's accurate as well.
Now, yesterday, we heard different remarks, and some people will say this is foreshadowing of how this is going to come down. We definitely saw a division, a sharp division, among those remarks, correct? And what does that tell us?
Well, there were very few surprises. I mean, obviously, Justice Scalia and Justice Alito are against equality for gay people. That's no surprise. Obviously, Justice Ginsburg, Elena Kagan, Sotomayor were very strongly in support. Breyer, I think, will support as well, though we had a couple critical questions of the pro-marriage equality folks. I think that Chief Justice Roberts may well come down against it, though I think he may agree with the second opinion, the one that allows for recognition of marriages from out of state. We might get 6-3 on that one. The heart of the question, of course, comes down to Justice Kennedy. He's the swing vote. And while he was critical of both sides, I agree with, I think you said it, Leslie, that he was more critical of the anti-marriage equality side than pro-marriage equality side. If I had to guess, I would guess 5-4 on the first question of whether or not states have to let gay couples marry, and 6-3 on the second question about recognizing other states' marriages. But we'll see. That's just my prediction.
Justice Kennedy will be the key to this decision, correct? And some
yes,
would say
absolutely.
Today, there are legal people out there today writing, you know, their blogs and whatnot. And they said that Supreme Court Justice Kennedy was inching cautiously toward legalizing gay nuptials nationwide. For folks that aren't aware of what he said or how he seemed to tip his hat in that direction, what makes people come up with that conclusion today? What did Justice Kennedy say that alluded to that?
Well, first of all, it's a lot before today. I mean, pretty much every national powerful decision on gay rights in the last 20 years has come from Justice Kennedy because he's in the center of the court. He's still with the four liberals, and so he's written all these opinions. So that was true before today. But today, when he talked about the equal dignity of gay couples, about their raising children and showing sympathy for their families, to me, that was a pretty clear sign that he felt that they deserved equality under the law.
Are you surprised that it constantly comes down to him? I know that, you know, he certainly can be, you know, the swing vote and, you know, often is. But technically, he's a conservative, even though he's casting the deciding vote. And in many, you know, situations, like you said, on issues surrounding gay marriage or gay rights in the past, he hasn't seemed a whole lot like a conservative. Or is this not about conservative and liberal, but about right and wrong and what the Constitution does and does not say and permit.
Oh, I think he's a libertarian. I think he's a social liberal and a fiscal conservative. He definitely goes the wrong way on a lot of decisions that I care about, everything from Citizens United to the Voting Rights Act. And on the Affordable Care Act, let's all remember, Kennedy voted what we might say is the wrong way, and Chief Justice Roberts saved the Affordable Care Act by voting with the four liberals. So it's not always that he's in the middle. I just think when it comes down to gay civil rights, yeah, that he's the middle seat.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back right after this. I'm Leslie Marshall. He's Mark Levine. And we're talking about the Supreme Court, its division on gay marriage. That's no surprise. Again, Justice Kennedy appears pivotal. That's no surprise. But we're getting your take on it as well. We're going to continue to talk about this and some other issues here on the Only True Democracy in Talk Radio. 8886-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. Give me a tweet on Twitter. Follow me there at Leslie Marshall. Follow Mark at Mark Levine Talk. The website for Mark is marklevinetalk.com. And ours, where you can send a contact a message to the contact page, is lesliemarshallshow.com. We'll be back with Mark Levine and I, Leslie Marshall, right after this. And you, don't go away. Leslie Marshall, he's Mark Levine. Happy Hump Day here on the Only True Democracy in Talk Radio. Mark and I are talking about the Supreme Court making a decision on gay marriage. Now, I know they don't tell you the when it's coming down, I mean the exact day, hour, but my understanding is it appears they may have a decision in a couple of months in June. Is that correct?
Yeah, usually the end of the term is the end of June. So that's the time when they have to get all their decisions done. They begin in October, they end in June, and they tend to save the most weighty cases to the very, very last minute. So I would predict the last week or maybe the next to last week of June.
We have some emails, we have some tweets, and if you want to call us on this issue, 8886-LESLIE, 888-653-7543 is the number. David emails, the 14th Amendment was purely to give freed slaves equal rights. What do you say, Mark, my lawyer?
That's not what it says. That's not what the text of the 14th Amendment says. The 14th Amendment says that every person who's born or naturalized in the United States is a citizen of the United States. It didn't say the slaves are freed. In fact, the 13th Amendment says the slaves are freed. The 14th Amendment is broader than that. The 14th Amendment is the reason why everyone born in the United States has equal rights. It's the reason why we have, there's all kinds of things in there. By the way, the 14th Amendment also says that you can't challenge the validity of the national debt. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things in there. Yes, it was to give rights to freed slaves, but it's broader than that.
Let's get some tweets in here. Mark tweets, Leslie, Mark, nothing to do with equality. It is strictly about the promotion of homosexual acts as normal behavior.
Yeah, well, what can I say?
And by the way, so that people understand, and Mark, weigh in. I have a friend who's now married, my friend, a gay friend. And up until he met his husband, who's now his husband, he never acted on his homosexual. In other words, he never had a sexual experience with anybody, male or
female. That's really, how old was he?
Oh, late 20s.
No sexual experience till late 20s?
No.
I feel bad for that guy.
No, he, and one of the reasons was he was conflicted because of his family and religion and fear of coming out, okay?
Yeah.
And this is not the first time I've heard of this, but the reason I say this is, help me with this. Why do people think of homosexuality as a sexual act? Because homosexuality is...
It's
part of who you are. It doesn't necessarily, you know, what is
right.
it? Do guys just think about, you know, penises and butts and two men kissing and doing things that they aren't comfortable with?
It's an orientation, not an act. People can do whatever they want with their bodies. It's a question of who you're attracted to. You can have gay priests and straight priests, and none of them may break their chastity vow.
Very true.
But, you know, we have to distinguish the difference between an act and an orientation. You know, I'll give you another distinction that I talked about years ago, the difference between left-handedness and right-handedness. Left-handedness and right-handedness are orientations. You tend to want to use your right hand as a dominant hand or your left hand as a dominant hand. Nothing about your being left-handedness requires you to use your left hand. You can still use your right hand if you're left-handed. You can still use your left hand if you're right-handed, but your brain predisposes you to use one hand or the other. It's very, very similar, particularly since 90% of people are right-handed, but a good 10% are left-handed. It's the same with sexual orientation. It's an orientation, not an act.
Let's read some more tweets, and if you want to give us a buzz, 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543 is the number. David tweets, everything in the government is political. We have bigger problems to which we need to attend to. Do we have bigger problems? Is this the biggest problem? And
you know what? If it once there is full equality for everyone, the issue is resolved. That's true for any of these equal rights questions. Then you can focus on other things. You know, the Supreme Court deals with all kinds of questions, including bankruptcy laws, some obscure tax laws. The interesting thing is they didn't take this. Many people thought they would take this question last year, and they didn't because every single lower court ruled that gay people could have equal rights. They didn't have to take the question. But when one court went in the other direction, then they had no choice but to take it. If the Sixth Circuit had simply followed what all the other circuits had done, there would need to be no Supreme Court case today.
Definitely. We have this is an interesting question. Hope Dealer tweets, Mark Leslie, it seems like what that's what America, oh, sorry, wrong person, Ellen. Mark and Leslie, will gays be a protected class, or will they have the right to marry based on gender discrimination?
Now, that's an interesting question, actually.
I thought it was.
You could
yeah.
rule either way. The first case to rule on marriage equality was back in Hawaii, the early 1990s. And it was not a sexual orientation case. It was a gender discrimination case. And it goes something like this. Joe can marry Steve. Excuse me. Joe can marry... Joe can't marry Steve, but... Shirley can marry Steve, and that's a discrimination against Joe because he's a man. Or, you know, vice versa, you know, Mary cannot marry Shirley because she's a woman. That's gender discrimination. And that's how the case was taken. That's how it was won in Hawaii before there was any sexual orientation jurisprudence. I think an argument can be made on either score, on whether it's gender discrimination or sexual orientation discrimination. I think sexual orientation discrimination is a more close approximation of the problem. I think it's more specific to the problem, but I do think there's a gender discrimination argument as well.
Oy, crazy, crazy. Okay. We post on Twitter, how do you think the Supreme Court of the United States will rule on marriage equality, the case heard yesterday? And, you know, Bill tweets, Leslie Mark, how would you report it if those who believe in traditional marriage took to the streets at, like, a la Baltimore? Okay. Would the words domestic terrorism be in your vocabulary?
Well, if people want to peacefully protest on anything, I welcome it. I support peaceful protest, even including people I disagree with. I mean, I'm pro-choice, but when the pro-life advocates peacefully protest, I absolutely support their right to do so under the First Amendment. I will defend that right. Once people stop peacefully protesting and start violently looting and robbing and burning down things, that's not a protest anymore in my mind. That's a crime.
Brian tweets, marriage equality will probably pass with a narrow margin. It'll pass. And that's what you said as well. Let's take some calls. Line 5, David in Illinois joining us. Hey, David, good afternoon and welcome. What's your take on the Supreme Court and the in the case of equality for all with regard to marriage, same-sex marriage?
I believe that we should have the whole issue decided by the voters in a binding national referendum. Congress can authorize this. It has the authority. There should be a binding national referendum which the voters have the final say as to whether marriage should be defined in whatever terms we're going to define it.
You mean be a true democracy and do majority rule?
Should be based on majority rule. That's correct.
That's an interesting suggestion. There has never been a national referendum in all of American history, and I don't think Congress does
have the authority to authorize one. In fact, we don't do anything nationally. Some people think we elect the president nationally, but even that we don't do. We're actually electing electors at the state level who then go to the national election. There really are no such things as a national referendum. They just don't exist. This is done state by state. States do control marriage rights, but of course they do so under the Constitution, which can require them to give equal protection under the laws. So I just don't think that's even possible. Nor is it why.
But if it were possible, do you like that idea, Mark?
Well, you know, now I do, I could say, because 61% of Americans support marriage equality. But I never, ever think that civil rights should be put to a vote. The majority of people in Alabama and Mississippi supported Jim Crow laws, but that didn't make the laws right. The whole point of the Constitution is to protect minorities from the tyranny of a majority. And so, no, I don't think a referendum's a good idea, although I think we'd win.
I'm going to say this about this issue. In 1924, the Progressive Party Convention nominated La Follette for president and Burton K. Wheeler for vice president. They also supported, I don't think it has to be done that way, but they did support an amendment to the Constitution which would specifically authorize the possibility of national referenda. And that's why I bring this up. And also, too, in Europe, I think almost every single constitution in Europe has this in their constitutions, the authorization for national referenda on important issues. And I must disagree with you.
Right.
I think that Congress has the power to authorize this.
Well, no. I think with a constitutional amendment, which is how you put it, of course it could be authorized. You can amend the Constitution to do practically anything. If an amendment of the Constitution passed to allow a national referendum, it would be legal and constitutional. I'm just saying it's not currently in our current Constitution.
Well, for example, in New York State, the state legislature of New York has authorized in the past state referenda. But
oh, absolutely. It's in many states. It's in California, too. It's in many, many states have statewide referenda. They occur all the time. I'm just saying there's no provision for a national referendum currently in the Constitution, although you could amend it. You're right. You could amend the Constitution to put that in, but it would require a constitutional amendment. But in any case, I don't think we should ever have a referendum on civil rights.
Let's go to Carol next in Wisconsin on line two. David, thank you for your call. Hey, Carol, good afternoon and welcome.
Hi. Thank you very much. I've been with my partner for over 30 years.
Congratulations.
Yes, we deserve equal protection under the law. Not many marriages last 30 years. I have a couple things to say. I was wondering what Mark and you think are the chances the court will rule in our favor for marriage equality so I can finally marry my partner.
I agree with Mark. I think it's going to be 5-4, and I say that based on the comments yesterday.
Yeah, I my prediction is 5-4 on the first question and 6-3 on the second question. Overall, I would say the chances of it happening are about 85%. That gives me a 15% chance it doesn't happen. But 5 out of 6, it's going to happen, and you'll be able to get married soon. But I thought there was already marriage equality in Wisconsin. There isn't?
There is. However, my partner and I decided not to get married until the entire United States can marry.
Gotcha. All right.
And,
Fair enough.
You know, if I have more time, I don't know.
I wish you a happy late June or early July wedding.
Oh, God bless you, both of you.
All right.
While it's true that some passages in the ancient scripture condemn homosexuality, but Christians have happily jettisoned other parts of the Bible that everyone deems archaic and irrelevant today, passages that condone slavery. They deem women as subordinate to men and recommend that adulterers be stoned to death. So I don't understand why, you know, this is even an issue.
I'll tell you something. In the Bible, you can find 1 or 2, maybe 3 passages on homosexuality. You can find thousands of passages about feeding the hungry, taking care of the widow, the orphan, looking out
Absolutely.
For the stranger.
Absolutely.
Those
Absolutely.
Are things Republicans are never doing.
And by the way, Mark speaking, Carol, thank you for your call. Speaking about Bible, even if somebody considers homosexuality a sin, they're still not supposed to judge the sinner or the sin. They can even hate the act, but not the person. And they are clearly supposed to, as the Bible says, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. So, You know, we have a constitution in this country, and I think it's very clear that equality for all means for all. We have a lot of people emailing us, a lot of people tweeting us, calls as well, 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. David emails, the ironic part is gay people get to pay the marriage tax. And he just wrote one line, so I'm not sure what he meant by that. Do you know what he means by that? I know what he means about paying the marriage tax, but are you guys paying into this tax now? No, right? You don't pay the marriage tax unless you file as a married couple.
Yeah, a marriage tax is a penalty on couples that jointly file income taxes, which they can do now, starting with the Windsor case in 2013. All gay married couples filed the same taxes as all straight married couples at the federal level.
May has a question that I think you'd be better answering. What is wrong with a civil union that produces equal rights? Why do you have to have, you know, the Supreme Court decision, or, you know, why not a civil union, as many states already do or have allowed, even prior to them allowing people to be married in that state, not just a civil union?
Two problems with civil unions. One, they're not recognized by the federal government because the federal government only recognizes marriage and federal government is half of all marriage rights. And two, there's a basic problem of separate and unequal. You know, people said, what's wrong with black schools? They'll teach them just as well as the white schools. Well, they turn out to be separate and unequal. It's a marriage. It should be called a marriage. That's a civil marriage. Religions can do whatever they please. They can choose to marry gay couples. They can choose not to. They can choose to marry Christians or Jews or atheists or Muslims or not to. Catholic Church doesn't have to marry anyone that's not Catholic. Religions can marry whomever they want, but the government must treat everyone equally under the law.
Independent Girl tweets, I will be upset if the Supreme Court changes the Constitution. Never will I agree with same-sex marriage. No special rights. Is this a special right? And does this require absolutely a change to the Constitution, or is it a clarification of what is already in it?
It's equal protection under the law. It's a question of whether gay couples should have the same right as straight couples. The right to marry has been considered fundamental by the Supreme Court for more than 100 years. They even let prisoners with life sentences get married. If a mass murderer who's committed a life sentence and will never be able to consummate that marriage with his spouse can get married, these two nice gay ladies who've been together for 30 years can't? Come on.
Hallelujah. And somebody else had to make a remark about, well, the divorce lawyers are going to be happy. You know, I say, I hope that, you know, gay men and lesbian women get it right, because we have a 54% divorce rate among heterosexuals. Mark, you know, I love you. Thank you for joining us, buddy. Happy
Thank you,
day.
Leslie.
Mark Levine, you can follow him on Twitter and listen to him hour one, Monday through Friday, here on the Only True Democracy and Talk Radio on the Inside Scoop. His website, marklevinetalk.com. On Twitter, follow him there at marklevinetalk. We're going to take a break, and we're going to talk with Talk Radio News Service right after this, live from our nation's capital. Don't go away.